We are back for another Language and Behavior podcast. This is a special, special day for the two of us, as this is the book birthday for the Language and Behavior. So, Charlie, it's so good to see you. How are you doing on this special day?
Doing great. You know, it does make me think a lot about this last year and where it went, what we've been doing, how much work we've been involved in. It's been awesome. What about you?
Time has flown. I remember not too long ago having that phone conversation with you about writing the book. So the fact that it's been in print for a full year and we've been doing a lot of work on it, crazy. Time flies when you're having fun.
It's true. So true.
All right. So let's talk about something before we dive into the book and some of our takeaways. We are providing a free webinar here very, very soon. So it's on February 12th. Will you just share with everyone what they're going to be able to witness when they sign up for this wonderful event?
Yeah, well, we've been trying to align it with people who have been coming to us, like school leaders, district leaders, superintendents, about what they need and what they've gotten from the book. So we wanted to make sure it's full of solutions for everybody. And so we decided to call it Equip and Empower Your Staff, which we've heard a lot about. Like, that's what the need is, but also to transform that student behavior. So they're struggling still with student behaviors. And I know that you and I are all about prevention. Like, prevention has to happen. And also when you're in it, when you're in that chaos, we've got to have the strategy. So we're going to talk about what we've been doing with schools and districts across the nation to help. That's really what it's about.
Awesome. Well, that's a perfect bridge to what we're going to talk about today too, because we wanted to talk through some of the takeaways that we had from working with educators, like you said, all over the country, and how they've used the book since its launch. So is there a takeaway from the book that a lot of folks have told you about, or maybe in some of the work that we've been doing?
Yes, I have used so many times that consider your environment. And it makes total sense for especially the work that I do, Josh, but it makes total sense. So considering your environment, I mean, if you think about how kids engage in what their surroundings are, whether it's the social environment, the physical environment, it influences them so much. And we have to start early if we want a true transformation. So the consider your environment, that environment inventory has gone a long way. But also the relationship inventory. Talk about that, because that's what you've been using for a long time.
Yeah. So the relationship inventory, which you can get for free on our website, specifically if you go to joshhammer.com language and behavior page. And that was constructed because when we did the relationship action team, we found a lot of wonderful strategies that we should be using every single day, but often we forget because of the busyness, the craziness, the interruptions that we see in the classroom. But we also knew and saw and witnessed through our experience that all of these strategies, and just to name one, is like greeting a kid at the door. We've heard that a million times. If you go through your teaching program to get your licensure, you learn about that. You hear the data of like the engagement goes up with that student, that individual student. However, how often do we actually do that? So I constructed a list of like 20 items of best practices that we know for a fact are going to enhance the learning environment before it even begins. Most of those things are strategies that before the bell rings to start the class period, you can do. And it's just, again, a way, not as a gotcha, but just a way to remind you of the things that are best practices that should occur every single class period, every single day throughout the school year, and to make a better community, a better relationship with your students. But then, like I said, to enhance that engagement in class. And so, yeah, that relationship inventory was beneficial for a lot of our teachers to just have a little checklist that was either posted on the wall or at their desk, something that was a visual, just as a consistent reminder, instead of maybe making copies or checking our email or doing something else that really isn't going to benefit in the long term all of the things that I listed.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes people just need those reminders, but also we go a step further and we've helped them implement it and actually utilize it. You've probably heard me say this a million times, but if you think of a classroom setting and there's a lot of kids in there and most of them are not having any kind of behavior issues, any challenges, anything like that, that means they're adapting. That means they're engaging because they're capable, they're willing, they've got their needs met, whatever. Even if something's bothering them in the environment, they're adapting to it. It's typically one or two kids. Sometimes I know there are teachers who have just a bunch of kids, but then I would say, well, what is going on in that environment? What's happening there? What do you have control of in that environment? We have a lot more control than we think. And so many times that social piece is there that we forget about what our social environment is like that we are setting up. And that is getting down to the level. I don't care how old the kid is. It's a teenager. It's an older teen. It's a young adult. I taught 18-year-olds. I got down to their level when they're sitting. I didn't hover, like, not because I'm awesome, just because I was aware and had those skills and thought about it. But those kinds of things do make the differences. So that's how a lot of these schools are using the book, is taking that, the tools that we put in there, but also having the conversation with their staff and among each other. That's what I noticed. Do you hear those conversations? Like, when you're working with people, are you like, what are you hearing them talking about?
Yeah, for sure. I think consider your environment is the first thing that they talk about, because we want to know what we have control over. And a lot of times when we're focused on the student behavior, or we're focused on something that's a negative that's occurring, sometimes we don't know what influence we have. We don't know what we have control over. And so I think it's just a missing piece that people don't realize that is right in front of them every single day. That's something they can change immediately. And so that's what I think people are provided hope right away. They can take action as soon as they see it. And so I think that's the thing that's really encouraging, is that that is something that can be changed really, really easily, that is going to benefit students. So right. I think that is a great starting point for most of the leaders, most of the educators that we talk to.
We have to innovate there. We have to. We have to think of our role as educators, or parents even, or community leaders who work with kids. We have to shift our thinking about what our role is in education, especially with all this AI. I don't know how much you've been thinking about it, but oh my gosh, it's on my mind all the time, because the role is shifting from the traditional teacher to the facilitator. And it actually needed to happen like that for a long time. But there's I think the readiness is going to be there, especially in our public education system. But I'm finding this, Josh, I think a lot of people feel like that shift is like giving up, or giving up authority. And it's actually so different. I used to teach with that lens. I got the opportunity to learn about how to facilitate and develop these little critical thinkers, rather than teaching at them all the time. Thank goodness where I was, my district was very supportive of that. And it was Canada, so they're very open and accepting of new ideas and innovation. So that was awesome. But I really feel like in the United States, especially, we need to start looking at a different solution, because what we're doing now is not working. And watch out, because we're going to shift education quicker than we know it with this AI stuff. What are you thinking about with that? I mean, we can't not talk about that when we talk about innovation.
I think there's, like you said, there's been a shift for the teacher to be the facilitator for about 20 years, but I think there's been a lot of pushback on that. And I think AI, similar to the pandemic, is going to require change to happen, if you like it or not. It's just going to be that moving force that we can't get away from. And so it's either you adapt with it, or you're going to fail. And so I think that's where people are really trying to decipher the role of technology. I think too, people are starting to understand that phones in schools are, like, the data's coming out that it's not exactly great for a lot of our students. And so, you know, people are putting in some implementation of, you know, those little bags where they got to put their phones in, and trying to keep the distraction away and keeping kids' attention, and seeing like the benefits to that. So I think there's like this balance that's trying to be occurred on school campuses, as far as what students should have and shouldn't have, and how often they should be on devices, how much of it is a distraction. And I think a lot of people are pouring in into the research and the data to understand how it's impacting our kids, because there's a reason that students can't stay focused. I think there's a lot of reason as to why they're tired when they come into school. I think there's a lot of things that are occurring with devices that are a negative as far as keeping them attentive. And so, yeah, I think there's just a lot of push and pull, but with technology in general. And so it's just, as far as educators and leaders, I think that's just what they're trying to navigate right now.
Yeah, I think people need to be able to step up and just be vocal about it, and just say, listen, this is not good for kids. We've got data now showing it. Mm-hmm. Our kids are lonely. Our kids are not engaging with each other as well. Okay. And I know in our book, we put this great framework there from Harvard, and it was about reconceptualizing early childhood policies and programs to strengthen like the lifelong health and well-being of our kids and society. And so we have to go to the early learners. But then when we're in the system already, there are strategies. We can start shifting this, but it takes that brave leadership and to challenge policies, but in a way that it's helpful, right? Not in a way of like blame, because that never works. It's just like, What can I do, even if it's minimal, even if it's something small, but to really start thinking of what is my role in the community? What is my role in this building? What is my role in my family? And what can I do to start being more responsive to the needs of kids and teens and young adults? I mean, all of them, we can support them lifelong.
Yeah, the other thing too, I love that what we're talking about, our book also provides a sense of creativity and allowance for our leaders to change how they work with students as far as on the reactive side of things. So Charlie, I was just coaching a young administrator just a few days ago. We talked about the push and model, which is in our book. And it was like a light bulb moment for this person because they were so frustrated with people just being sent, students being sent to them for specifically low level infractions. And to for them to see like, oh, there's something else that can benefit the teacher, the student, the administrators, giving them the administrators time back, giving students the opportunity to build a healthy relationship with their teachers, and then also have an opportunity to get the student back in the classroom instead of going to ISS. Yeah. I mean, it was like they saw water for the first time. It was incredible. And so I think, you know, we have so many different strategies in there, especially in Tenet 3, that for our administrators, I think it gives them a lot of hope as far as, oh, I have more power in my position than I realize. I don't have to just suspend my kids all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. People need alternatives to what's going on in the system right now. Because that's all we know. And I think there's, and you know, there's a lot of incredible leaders there and they want so badly to make change and then they get stuck in the system. But again, I mean, that's what leadership is kind of challenging that status quo, but also looking at the strengths of what's going on well already. Let's build from that. And what capacity do we already have? Sometimes it is just simple skill building or a shift, like a reframe. Sometimes that is what is so captivating. And I can tell you, I know that there is possibility here. I've seen it. You've seen it in the last year. I know that even in elementary, when we capture the people there at that level, they are going to have lifelong changes for those kids forever. And if we're working with middle school or high schoolers, what they can do there is still change and rewire the brains of those kids who have been stuck in the past and maybe not trusting adults in the system or the system around them. I know that there's still like lifelong change that can happen there as a result.
So is there any other takeaways from the book that you want to touch on before we jump into Behind the Banter?
Yeah. You know, real quick, what I like about the book too, is we gave those graphics in there and I don't think we talk enough about those. They are to simplify these strategies. And so one of them, for example, is the rapid research, decoding behavior, keeping it so simple that we'll actually do it. You know, like asking a pivotal question, not just how are you, but what is that pivotal question that somebody might ask? Like, I noticed that you seem a little down today, or I noticed you seem a little more tired than usual. What's up there? That's pivotal. That can actually give us information that might pivot their behavior or their experience. And then assess their response. When you know them, you can truly understand what that response might be and then identify the need underlying that. So I think like these graphics that we have in there, I think we need to post them more because they're so helpful. I use them.
Oh, for sure. I think I did a better job of posting those graphics once the book was released. But yeah, you're right. We haven't touched on that. And maybe we could do that during the free webinar. I don't know if any of those relate to the content that we're going to be discussing, but they are great visuals and something that we use, obviously, when we do our keynotes. I mean, those presentations, we do have those graphics. But yeah, I love the book in general. I'm super proud of it. I know we've hit our goal for the first year as far as like copies sold, and super exciting to see the cohorts also being built in various districts. So all of it, I think, has been super exciting. And we continuously see that ripple effect of the book. And yeah, you just never know what's going to happen when you release something like this. So it's been really fun this past year.
It has been. It's been so great working with you and like doing this podcast. It's been awesome.
I know, because we're over a year on the podcast. This came out before the book. So yeah, it's been really fun. So with that, are you ready to jump into our favorite segment?
Let's do it.
All right. What is one of the most meaningful compliments you ever received from a student?
It had nothing to do with learning and academics. It was about noticing them and believing in them. I can think of the students because it was there's a kind of a group of students that I remember saying this and getting this response. And sometimes this was years later, I'll get a message on Facebook or something.
Sure.
And it's like, nobody saw me or believed in me the way you did. And that really mattered for me. And it's just powerful. So that's what has meaning for me. What about you?
A couple come to mind, but the first one that came to mind was this sweet little girl. She would come in every day and I obviously roamed the campus before school as an assistant principal, just to make sure everything was copacetic. And I would say good morning to her every single day. And she was a good kid. Like, I never had any involvement with her ever, except for saying good morning every single day. At the end of the school year, I got a note from her saying exactly the same thing that you said.
Yeah.
You know, just as like, nobody knows this, but my family life is really difficult. There were a lot of days I didn't want to come to school, but your smile and good morning helped me get through the day. And for me, it was always just a great reminder of just those little things that we take for granted, that we don't think about, that can make a huge impact with our students. And so similar to the relationship inventory, like we talked about before, right? Just that simple smile and saying hello and greeting them with their name, the door is, it could be something really, really powerful that we don't even really think is that impactful.
Yeah, it's true. Love it. I love this work.
I do too. All right. So Charlie, is there anything coming up for you as we're looking at the month of February? I can't believe it's February.
I know. We've got Partners for Change coming up in Kentucky. It's a great local conference for me to be a part of. I'm just so excited about that. And going to Texas and doing a keynote there.
Nice.
Can't wait. And got NCMLE coming up in March as well.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm super excited. I'm going to be in Kansas here this month for the KASEA conference. And so I'll be keynoting that, doing a breakout session for them. So excited for that work with the Enhance Your Capacity with Healthy Habits, which we've talked about on this podcast before. But Charlie, I'm going to ask everyone that's listening before you close this out, is that if you have a question, if there's something going on in your world that you want us to address on this podcast, we love answering questions. So you can head over to the bit.ly that's in the show notes, and that's bit.ly/LOB questions. And we love getting that feedback. And the other thing too, is if you're looking for anything that we've discussed as far as services or ways that we can assist you either individually or at the campus district level, you can head over to thrivingeducator.org, or you can head over to joshsamper.com/language of behavior. And that has a ton of resources. You know, like I said, the relationship inventory, that's something that's of interest to you, something that can help you in your classroom. That's a free download. So you can head over for that. Charlie, how do you want to close out our celebration of our book birthday?
Well, I want to say congratulations to you, by the way, because you started this, you kicked this off, and look what you've done so far. And I'm just thrilled to have the opportunity truly with you to have done this. So congratulations to you. And thank you.
I could not have done it alone. I was very strategic about the person that I wanted to work with. And I think I made the best decision. So I appreciate your help with it. It's both of our voices. It's both of our experiences and strategies. And so yeah, I am proud of the work, but I'm also so blessed to be working with you, Charlie.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I do want everyone to know that next week, this is for leaders. We are calling out school leaders. That's why we have it at the time that we do. It's in the middle of the day. It's 12 p.m. Eat your lunch. Stick with us. We stick around for 30 minutes. We're actually doing it for an hour, but stick around. And if you sign up, we do have replays if you can only be there for a little bit. But yep, we want you there because we want to support you the way we've been supporting others.
Awesome. Can't wait. All right. We'll see everyone again next week for the show, but we hope that we see you in person February 12th for our free webinar, and can't wait for that event.
See you guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.